Makanga. Makanga. Mangondo sarisa, mangondo dora, mangondo sarisa, mangondo dora. Ha.
Thank you. afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone. Before we hear the last song from the wonderful choir, I'd just like to invite those of you who have not got headsets to please do so. And also, we hope that everyone has received an evaluation form today. If you have not, you can get one from the ushers at the entrance of the room. As a little incentive to please fill in your forms, we will have a little draw at the end of today's session, at the close. So we encourage you to fill in the evaluation and return them to an usher at the back of the room so we can put your name in for the draw. And then we will begin after this song. Thank you.
Good afternoon, ladies. Good afternoon. Now, I'm sure you had a very good lunch. Now, we want to sing one song by the title of Mungu Yumwema, God is Good. And because God is good to all of us, I invite all of us to stand and just dance and enjoy ourselves so that as the food settles down, we'll be able not to sleep in the afternoon, but be able to hear everything that is said. God is good. So please, all of us, if you can just rise up so that we sing together. Mungu yumwema,
Mungu yumwema, Mungu yumwema,
oh Mungu yumwema,
Mungu yumwema, Mungu yumwema,
kweli Mungu we yumwema. Oh, niache nizunguke, kweli niache nizunguke, oh Mulungu ni muzo, kweli Mulungu we ni muzo. Oh, niricha ni tengereke, kweli niricha ni tengereke we. Oh, moya salala, kweli moya we salala. Oh, nireke ni furahike, oh, niricha ni zunguluke, oh, niricha ni tengereke we. Oh, mwadhani arogosho, oh, mwadhani arogosho, oh, ekai sunge sunge ati, oh, ekai sunge sunge, oh, ewe ya miela miela, oh, ewe ya miela miela, oh, reka sieve sieve, oh, reka sieve sieve,
reka sieve sieve, reka sieve sieve,
Shangilia Yesu anaweza. Oh, Yesu anaweza. Shangilia Yesu anaweza. Oh, Yesu anaweza. Shangilia Yesu atupenda. Oh, Yesu atupenda. Shangilia Yesu atupenda. Oh, Yesu atupenda. Shangilia Yesu dakitari. Oh, Yesu dakitari. Shangilia Yesu dakitari. Oh, Yesu dakitari. Shangilia Yesu namba moja. Oh, Yesu namba moja. Shangilia Yesu namba moja. Oh, Yesu namba moja. Shangilia Yesu atupenda. Oh, Yesu atupenda. Shangilia Yesu atupenda. Oh, Yesu atupenda. Yesu.
Start up so lovely dancing. Jumbo Havari. Good afternoon. Buenas tardes. Bonsoir. Boa tarde. That's all. And enough. So well, formally. Good afternoon, everybody. We are now gathered here for the closing session of the International Women's Summit. The past 3 days have indeed been very intense for everybody. We have been engaged physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Physically as moving from one session to the next, from the big tent to the plenary hall, to the workshop room, town halls, and so on. Require a lot of physical energy, mentally as our minds and intellect have been provoked to reflect, to analyze, to strategize, and sometimes to change old patterns of thinking and behaving. Emotionally, because we have been moved by the stories shared to us in both formal and informal sessions. Our passions have been aroused as we have heard about suffering, discrimination, and the seemingly inadequate response to the plight of women and pure communities, but we have also been inspired by women and children who have submitted to thoughtless odds. And we have heard a lot of those during the past 3 days. And spiritually, because we have been enriched by everything we have heard and witness it, and as a result, I'm sure our lives have been changed in many, many different ways.
Good afternoon. My name is Natalie Fisher-Spalton, and I'm the Deputy General Secretary of the World YWCA. We've now almost reached the end of our journey as far as the International Women's Summit on Women's Leadership in HIV and AIDS is concerned. But we know that we're nowhere near the end of the road. Now it's time to think about the next steps of what we will do when we reach home, back in our communities and in our home countries. This afternoon, we'd like to present to you a call to action and a pledge of commitment as the beginning of how we make the transition from these last three amazing days to our journeys back home. And I'd like to call upon the World YWCA General Secretary, Dr. Musumi Kanyaro, who will share with us what the call to action is all about and how it came to be, which is also itself a journey to share with you. Thanks.
Thank you. Jambo. Wow. Habari. If you could leave Nairobi with two words in your vocabulary, which you can be able to share with everybody in your country, that would be just marvelous. And the words are jambo and habari mzuri sana. Those are greetings. I'm delighted on behalf of all the partners, the World YWCA, and all the partners with whom we have worked, to present to you the process by which we worked to come to the call to action. And I would like to find out whether all of you do have a call to action before I talk about it. Do you? Just check so that you have a call to action, and if you don't have it, have your hand out and ushers will come and bring a call to action to you. The call to action is a document of commitment. It's a document of commitment which has been facilitated by the World YWCA, but drafted by many partners. When we were designing this conference, we took into account that there are many conferences that have been taking place on HIV and AIDS and have produced various documents, many of them holding governments to accountability, holding pharmaceuticals to accountability, holding our own communities, religious communities to accountability, etc. We also were quite aware that this is the first ever international conference on women's leadership on HIV and AIDS. None has taken place before, and we were quite conscious of the fact that it's taking place on the continent where we've had the greatest impact of the pandemic, and yet at the same time, the pandemic is sufficiently globalized so that there is no place in the world where the pandemic has not touched. So we were aware of that. And we were aware that we are also working within the framework of so many other women, men, and people of from different backgrounds working on HIV and AIDS. So we asked ourselves, together with our partners, what will be different from Nairobi 2007? And the working groups that were convened in various regions said that what we needed to do is come out with a document that holds us to accountability, that holds first and foremost the people who come to this consultation to accountability, that none of us would have the privilege of coming from wherever we have come from and go away from this place and put on our data bank another conference that we attended. But rather we would leave Nairobi with a passion inside us, with a vision from within us that is telling us, with a hunger, with a thirst, with something that is calling us to guilt conscious if we don't do something. But guilt doesn't get us anywhere. But something that is really calling us to leadership. The leadership of women making a difference in the HIV pandemic. We came from the framework of being part of the global coalition on women and HIV and AIDS. And we decided that we were not going to reinvent the wheel, but build on what has happened. So the first thing that we did was to affirm those declarations that we've been part of. There are many, but I would like just to mention some. It includes the International Community of Women Living with HIV and AIDS 12 statements made in 1992, to which we endorsed, and many partners who have been working on this endorsed as well. The Barcelona Bill of Rights of 2002, the NGO Code of Conduct developed through the Red Cross and other partners, the Canadian Blueprint document of 2006, which came out of Toronto, the Johannesburg Position on HIV and AIDS, Women and Girls' Rights in Africa 2006, the Compact developed by the Global Health Coalition, and to which many of the partners have signed, and also the various UN meetings that have taken place, including Angus twice, that have taken place, the UN General Assembly on HIV and AIDS. We affirm these and many others that exist in our regions, in our nations, in our villages and towns and cities. And this document does not in any way dishonor them. But what is different, which is our only niche, this document calls you to personal commitment. The way it was developed was after consultation with so many people, a drafting committee made up of two people from the YWCA, one board member and one staff. The board member was Afia Nathaniel from Pakistan, and the staff member was Sophie Dimitris, the HIV/AIDS coordinator. And then we had representation on the drafting committee from Mary Wandia of Action Aid and Caroline Lambert of the YWC of Australia. And they had a large advisory group that gave them advice, and then they had a consultation group that even went wider. So the result of this consultation process is the call to action, which will go on the website of the World YWCA, and we ask many of you also, as you commit yourselves to it, to put it on your website and be free to use it and ask others to call to action as well. There is a shorter version of the call to action, which is one page, a talking document that any one of you can take and use all the time. And today we will be helped to sign a pledge of action that commits us as individuals to take this call to action forward. So this is the process which we used. It was sufficiently inclusive. It was chaired by Alice Welbaum, whom I will be welcoming, who will come to us later and go on and tell us about, commit us to calling it. And Alice Welbaum comes from the International Community of Women Living with HIV and AIDS, which was our partner organization in convening this ICW. So, that's your call to action. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mufimbi. We will now hear responses to the call to action, and I would like to invite starting message with a video from Naomi Watts, the ambassador of UNAIDS.
Women's issues for HIV/AIDS, the time of the world, YWCA. Thank you. Let me share. Maybe you realize that she was not able to be with us because she's expecting a baby.
We'd now like to call on Dorothy Onyango, newly elected co-chair of the International Community of Women Living with HIV and AIDS. Dorothy.
Thank you. I'm Jambo, and Karibu Kenya. Great ladies, men and women of goodwill, from near and far, east and west, north and south, with due humility, I have the pleasure to salute you all. Standing before you this afternoon, which is a great day to all of us women, I feel it is my duty to extend my gratitude to all for the thoughtful contributions, suggestions, and even criticism that we have formed, that has formed the basis of the summit for the last couple of days that we have been here. I also have the pleasure to thank members of the International Community of Women Living with HIV/AIDS who have this time round elected me as vice chair. I believe this honor will give me additional strength and strength to champion the cause of women living with HIV internationally. I want to assure you of my utmost commitment to this cause. Thank you. As vice chairperson of ICW, one of my major priorities will be to ensure that rights of women leaders and their participation in HIV/AIDS issues across the globe is duly recognized and pursued. I will work with the recognition that ICW and YWCA partnership is the most viable strategy to achieving wider goal of women's meaningful participation in the world's affairs, especially in stamping out stigma and discrimination meted against women living with HIV/AIDS in this world, and not forgetting the issue of commercial sex workers. We will address the challenges, the stigma shared by HIV-positive women and sex workers, and the war, and I repeat war label, which fuels violence against women, especially HIV-positive women, including sex workers, without putting distance between us. We will protest against police abuse and social discrimination of sex workers, and we will ensure that we demand the decriminalization of sex workers and the protection of sex work and the protection of sex workers' human rights and workers' rights. As a woman living with HIV/AIDS, allow me to express the opinion that not many women living with HIV/AIDS have been involved in decision-making processes of our nation. I want to state that it is time women living with HIV/AIDS started to aggressively lobby for influential positions in the socio-economic and political affairs of our respective countries. It is indisputable that the need to promote gender equity aimed at enhancing advancement of women and girls' rights is more urgent today than it was yesterday. This, to me, is a safety net that women and girls greatly require. This summit has tried to deliberate on the issues of whether or not women living with HIV could bear children. As healthy as the discussion has been, I must share with you the fact that this question is inevitable, the sole responsibility of the woman herself. Any decision made will be independent and unquestionable. The role of the society is to ensure women living with HIV/AIDS have equal and indiscriminate access to medical care, information, and to ensure quality of life. To this extent, I call on YWCA and ICW to work towards greater capacity building for positive women and strengthening the solidarity among positive women of all nations, which will eventually translate into emergency of young positive women leadership. We must recognize, however, that part of the obstacle positive women have continued to face in their quest to attain equity is the lack of involvement of men in our campaigns. I recognize that positive involvement of men, will perhaps trigger better responses and results in the end. My challenge, therefore, is to YWCA and ourselves as ICW to create parallel facilities for men for their meetings and get-together ceremonies that will reduce the current burden of testing and positive living for women. Finally, I want to recognize the invaluable support that we have received from Dr. Chan, the WHO Secretary General. Without her, this summit would not have been as successful. On the other hand, the conspicuous absence of WHO's HIV/AIDS department raises great doubts on the world's greatest policy-making body commitment to the cause of women. I challenge all of us to team up and quest this absurdity. I must also recognize the great contribution made by Sophie, our dear sister, who has had close working relationship with YWCA towards the realization of this summit. I believe this is the first step in the grand collaboration between ICW and YWCA. Please take up these challenges. To all of you, I thank you for your patient audience and honest deliberation. May we live to see great accomplishments that await us ahead. We know women will manage. We have managed and we shall continue to manage. Asante sana. Thank you very much. Merci beaucoup. Gracias.
Thank you, Dorothy. And now we would like to invite responses from the floor, and we will start with Jorai Shitongo to speak on behalf of Hayaro Commission. Is she here?
Good afternoon. My name is Jorai Shitongo from REOFO, a community-based network of women survivors of domestic violence. It's also an offshoot from Girl Child Network Zimbabwe. I stand before you today representing tens of thousands of grassroots women from over 30 organizations in 15 African countries, India and Guatemala. We have come today as members of Roots International and the YO Commission. We would like to start by thanking the YWCA for opening space for grassroots women leaders to effectively participate in this conference. We have taken this opportunity seriously and gathered for 5 days in Grassroots Women's International Academy prior to the summit to share our practices and make action plans. We grassroots women, home-based caregivers, including women living positively, are uniting communities, rebuilding social networks eroded by poverty and violence. As caregivers and leaders, we improve food security and basic services, water and sanitation, and we hold local governments accountable, building bottom-up pro-poor grassroots democracy. Although we are grounded in our communities, we are not working in isolation. From our self-help and support groups, we have begun linking nationally across borders and regions, building bottom-up horizontal networks and taking our strategies to scale. In our next step, we will build alliances of home-based caregivers in 7 countries. We will continue to support the creation of networks of children and youth in poor communities to facilitate empowerment. We will be counting and valuing our contributions to the global AIDS response. We will also continue our advocacy, local to global, to hold donors and national governments accountable by monitoring from the bottom up money being allocated through the Global Fund for AIDS, the World Bank MAP, and others. We will do this through global advocacy and through lobbying to get grassroots women into decision-making positions in community through national level AIDS councils. We are working with a growing group of partners, including CODAID, American Jewish Service, the Global Fund for Women, the Stephen Lewis Foundation, the African Women's Development Fund, and the Newfield Foundation. Partners who are committed to directly investing in grassroots women-led work. We invite you to take concrete action in recognizing and rewarding grassroots women leadership in the response to HIV and AIDS by joining with us in creating a fund for women with, for women's leadership on community-led responses to HIV and AIDS, and in creating standards and monitoring protocols, networking and coalition building to sustain and scale up our work. Let me take this opportunity to mention, to also mention that we have a statement we are handing out that people can sign on to. Thank you. Asante sana.
Thank you. I'd like to call on Louise Binder and Sherry Margulies from the Blueprint for Action on Women and Girls and HIV.
Jambo, I'm Sherry. Louise is going to talk because if you saw me earlier, I was screaming and shouting about women's rights being human rights, and I don't have a voice left.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to respond to the call for action. We, HIV-positive women, consider this to be an incredibly ambitious, comprehensive, and creative document. And we, HIV-positive women, salute those involved for their vision and courage in developing it. And we thank the drafters for what I'm sure was an incredibly difficult job. These 10 critical areas will go far to rebalancing the present power imbalance between men and women that fuel this epidemic for women. It is wonderful that we have a partnership between the YWCA and the ICW and all of our other partners to bring about this document to fruition. We are confident that we will also recruit progressive men to help us to develop strategies for men's essential and complementary role in seeing this call for action implemented. Of course, this will require country level and regional strategies. We need to think locally in implementation. We also require sustainable support and capacity building to implement and monitor these strategies and to keep the grassroots working while we get them in place. We all know that policies and strategies alone will not be enough. Stigma and discrimination. We are so glad to see that this is in the very first of the critical areas. It is key. HIV-based stigma and discrimination, in our view, is often just a smokescreen for other types of stigma and discrimination that are even less politically correct. Against women, against people of different cultures, religions, and colors. It is time for us to rip the mask off this basic hypocrisy. We are so glad to see the recognition of HIV-positive women and girls at the table. But we must remember that it is all women and girls, not to exclude sex trade workers, lesbians, bisexual women, transgendered women, women in prisons, intravenous drug-using women, just to name a few. And so we say to all of you in this room, as HIV-positive women, please remember, nothing about us without us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Louise and Sherry. I'd now like to invite the Reverend Dr. Imbora Jiroke to give a brief response as a representative of the World Council of Churches.
Good afternoon. Habari zenu? Nzuri. Asante sana. It has been wonderful to have this opportunity and this important space where women's voices have been heard and their leadership in fighting HIV and AIDS epidemic acknowledged, especially from women who are living positively with the challenges of the virus and the disease in their own bodies and in their own lives. Coming from the World Council of Churches, a global fellowship of more than 340 churches, and as the staff person responsible for coordinating ecumenical HIV and AIDS initiative in Africa, I want to assure you that the Nairobi 2007 call to action will not be lost among many other papers on my desk. Together, let us break down the barriers that have been erected by our patriarchal societies, to which faith communities contribute significantly. Let us push the boundaries of our knowledge and experience to be better stewards of our resources. We are painfully aware of the inadequacies of our responses to make women and girls less vulnerable to violence and disease, both at home and in the society and in our churches, unfortunately. We will continue to critically look at our biblical theologies, our ethical statements and interpretations, so that we can truly reflect our compassionate and loving Creator. At the personal level, and as a clergy person, and as one who is bringing up an adolescent boy who has lost his mother and grandmother to HIV and AIDS, and who himself is living with HIV, this has been a very important space for me to learn from my sisters and my brother. I am a member of ANARERA, the association that brings together religious leaders who live with HIV or who have been affected in this continent of Africa. I want to assure you that I'll continue to knock at the doors of religious leaders of this continent and beyond, so that we can raise our voices to speak on our own behalf, but also on behalf of those who are being marginalized because they live with the virus and the disease. It is my belief that together we can conquer this virus and the disease. May God bless each one of us.
Thank you very much. Before I call on our last speaker to come up from the floor, I'd like to ask the ushers to be ready with microphones so that we can also hear from you, so you can please be ready if you would like to say something from the floor. We'll have some time for that. And I'd like to call on the Honorable Suthu Misisu Ninyoni, the Minister from Zimbabwe, please.
Very much. I'm Sitembi Sonyoni from Zimbabwe. I'm the Minister of Small and Medium Enterprises. HIV and AIDS needs action, action, action from all of us. And I want to thank the organizers of this conference and the organizers of this session, especially the call for action. As I think it is very, very important for us not to just talk, but also to act. The action needs to come not just from women, but from all sectors of our society. It needs to come from government. Governments need to be committed. Governments need to have policies that trigger everybody to action. In Zimbabwe, I'm the Minister of Small and Medium Enterprises. And my ministry, we have taken action in that we have commissioned a study to see which areas of our society, especially where the SMEs are operating, where are the areas where HIV and AIDS is prevalent, and therefore what action could be taken there. And these are the areas where we found HIV and AIDS were highest. One, where trekkers, those men that travel in lorries across borders in SADC, from Botswana, from South Africa, Zimbabwe, across to Zambia, where they park and maybe leave for some time. Those areas, especially where say tourism areas are very close to those areas, those men go out and because they are away from families, they tend to either transmit or get infected. Secondly, it is the informal sector, the informal traders. And thirdly, it is in the slums. And fourthly, it is the cross-border traders, the women that go across between our countries selling goods. And when they get to these foreign countries, usually they don't have anywhere decent to sleep and anywhere decent to stay, and they end up being victims. In small mines, those gold panels. As a result of this identification, we have triggered a memorandum of understanding between my ministry and the neighboring governments of Namibia, of Botswana, Zambia, South Africa, and Mozambique. So we have memorandum of understanding so that we work together to assist the cross-border traders. In Zimbabwe, the government has a policy and we have an HIV and AIDS levy so that we have a fund where people can have access. We also assist the HIV and AIDS orphans in schools. The problems, though, are many, but a lot is being done to an extent that HIV in Zimbabwe has the prevalence has decreased from 24% to 18.6%. Thank you very much. Our Ministry of Health is very aggressive and they make sure that in every ministry, in every organization, there is a desk that deals with HIV and AIDS. I thank you very much. I've learned a lot from here, and I'm going to take lessons home, and I hope also some people can learn from Zimbabwe. This is an area where we have done very well. Thank you very much.
Language.
Okay.
Present yourself and YWCA or organization you belong to.
Okay, my name is Khumuto. I'm from YWCA South Africa, and we're doing youth programs. I just want to say that the past few days have been very interesting, and we got a lot of information, and I've really learned a lot. But I would like to throw a challenge to all of us, especially when it comes to youth, looking at the people that are affected, being between 15 and 24, that although there are economic factors and there is abuse and there is rape, etc., etc., we must also not be afraid to push the envelope and explore all those uncomfortable parts of the dialogue that we sometimes leave out, especially when it comes to life skills and risky behavior. I would like to challenge us as sisters and mothers to, you know, even with things that we are uncomfortable talking about, to at least start it at home, because this is where your initial entry point to conversations around reproductive health, emotional things, etc., start from. Thanks.
Thank you. Yes, we have. You have to come to the mic. The mic is here. So you have this one there. Good, good. We have one there, one here, a second one there. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, I won't speak in my mother tongue because it's Dutch and no one would understand me.
Sorry.
I think it's a very strong document, and I think it will be a very good advocacy tool. And I also think that there are a couple missed opportunities. It could have been a stronger document if it had perhaps included three more things. One is that if we have sex education for young people, that we don't only talk about how to prevent HIV infection, but also talk about what do we need to consider if we would have a relationship with an HIV-positive person. A second part would be in emphasizing the principles of informed consent, confidentiality, counseling, and access to care when we're talking about expanding voluntary counseling and testing. I think emphasizing that it must be based on human rights principles would be very important. And the last part that has not been addressed, I think, is reproductive choice. The document does talk about safe motherhood, which is extremely important, but I think it would be stronger if it also talked about reproductive choice, a woman's option to have or not have children, and her option to have children biologically or through adoption. Thank you.
I'm Florella Hensley from the YWCA of Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone is recovering from a 10-year-old rebel war and the conflict situation. You know what happens when there is a rebel war. Our women were abducted, raped, and suffered a lot of sexual problems. We do have PWLAs who have come forward, but there is still the issue of stigmatization and discrimination. Here in this room, HIV is demystified, but back home, we still have to work on demystifying HIV and AIDS to bring our women out. We do have them, but they couldn't come out because they still feel ashamed to come in such a public arena. And the call to action is a good document which we are going to work with and act and continue to act upon to bring out what we need to do in the YWCA of Sierra Leone to demystify HIV and AIDS.
My name is Luatile Siboni from the YWCA of Botswana. I would like to challenge the mothers, the aunties in this conference, particularly those from Africa, as custodians of culture, to go back into our communities and investigate the role played by older women in influencing the spread of HIV/AIDS. You know very well that in our African culture, when you go to your aunt or your mother and tell them that my husband is doing this, my husband has multiple sex partners, they tell you that my daughter persevere. They urge you to stay in this relationship because it will be something unacceptable for you to leave this husband because he has multiple sex partners. So I'm saying, let's talk to our mothers, let's talk to our aunties and urge them to address this issue because it's one of the things that is causing the spread of HIV/AIDS. Thank you.
Hola, mi nombre es Edison Cordero, soy de la YNCM Ecuador. Muchísimas gracias por la oportunidad. Okay, okay. ¿Ya? Yeah. ¿Es okay?
Sí, está bien, gracias.
Okay. Mi nombre es Edison Cordero, de la YNCM de Ecuador. Muchísimas gracias. Solo por... Yo creo que este llamado a la acción, este documento de la YWCM, no solo es para las mujeres, sino es también para nosotros los hombres, que vemos algunos aquí. Yo pienso que este documento lo vamos a hacer carne, lo vamos a hacer práctica. En Ecuador, pienso que hay muchos jóvenes hombres que nos inscribimos a rescatar los derechos de las mujeres, derechos económicos, políticos y sociales. Entonces, más bien por agradecerles a ustedes, a la YWCM, por la oportunidad que nos dan a hombres de aprender. Y también, bueno, es un reto para las mujeres, para el movimiento feminista, de involucrarnos a los hombres. Ok, sorry. Gratamente sorprendido por las mujeres que vienen de todas las partes del mundo a esta conferencia internacional de la YWCM. Mujeres valiosas, llenas de esperanza, que la van haciendo práctica día a día en rescatar el papel protagónico que tienen las mujeres en cada sociedad y cultura. Muchísimas gracias por darnos un ejemplo de vida. Muchísimas gracias por enseñarnos a ser más seres humanos.
Muchísimas gracias.
Hello everyone, I'm Patricia William from YWCA Liberia. I also want to conscientize the parents, the mothers and fathers out there. From the society where I come from, nobody says anything when a girl child is expected to bring money in the home to be a breadwinner for the family at 14 or at 15. That fuels the factor of early pregnancy and also fuels the factor of HIV and AIDS. The call to action is also good, but I would also like to conscientize the parents to not to look at the children as breadwinners. Thank you.
Thank you. We are allowed for maybe one or two more. If it's okay, we could continue with the agenda. Thank you very much for all your comments and inputs to the call for action.
Thank you. I'd like to now call upon Ms. Debbie Landy, Deputy Executive Director of UNAIDS, to give a response on behalf of the Global Coalition on Women and AIDS. Debbie.
Friends and colleagues, Jumbo,
Habari.
Missouri. Thank you very much. Let me start by saying how wonderful it has been to be back on the African continent and in Kenya. Let me thank the powerful speakers who just gave testimony from the floor today. I would also like to thank the World YWCA and the international community of women living with HIV/AIDS who have moved mountains to make this summit the success that it has been. I would particularly like to recognize Musimbi Kanyoro, Monica Zech, Marijo Vasquez, and Sophie Dilmites, and thank them for their leadership and their vision in bringing us together. Yes, you can bring the house down for them. Bring the house down for them. I know you gave my wonderful friend Musimbi a good send-off last night, but let's give her another one. Musimbi, God bless you. Woo! I am very honored to be here in the company of so many dedicated women and a few courageous gentlemen like the one we just heard from across the globe, who are determined to make the AIDS response real for women and girls. And it is an enormous privilege to have been invited to speak here today on behalf of the Global Coalition on Women and AIDS. The Global Coalition on Women and AIDS advocates for women's rights in the response to AIDS. It is an alliance of activists, civil society organizations, positive women's networks, UN organizations, and the private sector. Our shared goal is to bring about concrete action to tackle gender inequality, one of the major drivers of this epidemic. We want to ensure that AIDS strategies respond to the real needs of women and girls so that they do not get infected, and if infected, live healthy and productive lives. An AIDS response that does not have women at its core, including women living with HIV, is doomed to fail, as the response has failed women so far. But this summit has made it clear that we are all part of a grand coalition that aspires to one shared purpose, an HIV response that works for women and girls. Friends, I think you will agree with me that this has been a historic summit. Why has it been historic? Historic because the women of the world, most especially young women and positive women, have come together in greater numbers than ever before in the history of the AIDS movement to give voice to the urgent and non-negotiable rights of women and girls in the context of HIV. Women, young women, positive women are on the move. Historic, because we have heard so many examples of how women's leadership is making a real difference to individuals, to families, and communities around the world. Whether we talk about human rights, advocacy, programming, policies, or research, women's leadership is on the move. Historic, because there is a growing understanding and acceptance of the leadership positive women bring and must bring to every table where decisions are made that affect their lives. The leadership of positive women is on the move. Nothing about us without us. Historic, because the leadership of positive UN, United Nations staff, resulted in the launch of a chapter of United Nations Plus, UN Plus, here in Nairobi. Positive colleagues, you are on the move. And I want to pay special thanks and tribute to Kate Thompson, Batupe Mungo, Nais Mason, and Jane Sinye for making it happen. historic because so many people confirmed that there is no such thing as a gender-neutral program, nor should there ever be one in national responses to HIV. Historic because it is the first time that so many women confronting AIDS have affirmed the critical importance of ending violence as a core strategy against the epidemic. Violence must be on the move out of the lives of women and girls and the lives of the men who perpetrate it. Historic because women are challenging the macroeconomic policies that have impeded effective AIDS responses and sunk women deeper into poverty. Historic because we have here in our hands, thanks to the leadership of Alice and others with her, the Nairobi Call to Action, made real in our own lives by the personal pledges we will and have made. On behalf of the Global Coalition on Women and AIDS, I fully endorse the call to action and pledge the efforts of the coalition to turn it into reality on the ground. In support of the call to action, we will do everything in our power to promote the human rights of all women and girls, irrespective of their age, HIV status, or lifestyle choices. We will strive for women's economic empowerment so that they're able to protect themselves from infection, put food on the table, and keep their children in school. We will continue to advocate for more funding to reach women, Louise, in grassroots communities, and for this funding to be easily accessible to those who need it most. And we will advocate for sustained research into female-initiated prevention tools and for massive rollout of prevention of parent-to-child transmission programs. We will speak loudly that Positive and other women's organizations need a seat at the table as equal partners where policies, programs, and budgets which affect their lives are decided. And we will carry the message that AIDS programs that do not work for women, especially Positive women, do not work for nations. In the past 3 days, I think we have all been amazed by the range of powerful experience gathered at this summit. I believe we leave Nairobi with renewed passion, compassion, and energy. By forging this new global alliance, we can speak louder and with greater force. As we leave this meeting and travel back to the far corners of the world where we live and work, I urge us all to take this call to action and use it to transform principles and commitments into concrete steps on the ground. I urge us all to transform the very way we respond to HIV. I urge us all to move ourselves and our sisters towards full equality between women and men. Keep up the good work, keep up the passion and the energy, and keep up the extraordinary commitment. Our collective power can change the world. We must, we can, and we will change the course of this epidemic. Wanawake wanaweza. Wanawake waliweza. Na wanawake wataweza. Asante sana.
Good. Thank you very much, Deborah. Thank you for your inspiring words and really moving and encouraging us to keep on the action. Well, we have one comment left. Yes, please.
Thank you. My name is Faustina Urasa from Moshi, Tanzania. What I want to say is that, as we know, women, as women, we are facing discrimination. And when you have disability, you are facing double discrimination. And what if you are HIV positive? You are facing this triple discrimination. So what I want to say today, and to remind you, is that We are your daughters. We are your sisters. We are your mothers. We are your mothers-in-law and your sisters-in-law. So if we really want to change life, change community, disabled women should be involved. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You have with you a copy of the Pledge to Action as a sign of our commitment to continuing and helping to strengthen responses to HIV and AIDS, and especially those that address the specific situation of women. We are going to read this pledge. I would now like to call upon Mrs. Dr. Alice Walburn to lead us on the reading of the pledge. Thank you, Alice.
Thank you, Monica. Good afternoon, everybody. Abari Zagioni. Wow, what an amazing experience this has been. I felt so privileged to play a small part of it in being asked to convene the fantastic team who have put these documents together. And I'd also like to say thank you so much to all the members of the consultation group who gave so many thoughtful responses to our questions, which have fed into this document, and also to the members of the advisory group who so warmly and generously acted as a sounding board for it. The results of the consultation process will appear shortly on the YWCA website, together with all of the other declarations which Musimbi referred to in her opening remarks, so that you, I hope all of you, or at least many of you, might be able to access all these important documents and that consultation process together in one place, together with this call to action, both in the long form and in the short form, and also this pledge to action, which is the one page which I hope you all have copy of. I'd just like to share with you a number of the core principles which we decided to work on to form the basis of these documents which we have produced together over the past few months. Principle number one, we are all affected by HIV and AIDS. Whoever we are in the world, wherever we are in the world, there is nobody anymore who can consider themselves not to be affected by this pandemic. Next, we believe firmly that change starts with me, with each and every one of us. We also believe that the personal is political. Next, what we tried to do in these documents was to promote a positive vision of how we want the world to be. I know we, all of us in this room, are passionate advocates of women's rights, and together we have such a strong vision of how we want the world to be. And we hope that through these documents, we will become and be the change we want to see in the world. The next principle is that in these documents, we wanted to ensure that each and every one of us learns for ourselves about what is happening in relation to women and HIV, and all of the many, many complex interrelated issues that we've all been talking about over these past few days. in relation to our own selves, our own families, our own friends, our own communities, workplaces, faith groups, leisure groups, countries. And what are we doing in our own lives about all of these issues? HIV, we all know this, but we need perhaps to go on reminding ourselves, I just as much as anyone else, that HIV isn't just about somewhere else, someone else. It's also about what's happening in my own community. And the great tragedy is that what we have learned in the West, where ARVs, the drugs for AIDS, are more readily available, stigma goes on and on, just as badly, and perhaps sometimes even worse than it did before the drugs arrived. So it's beholden on each and every one of us, not only to be working in other parts of the world, but also to be learning about and responding to and acting upon what's going on in our own communities. And our last principle for these documents was that we wanted to focus on our own thoughts, our own words, and our own actions in our collective response as all of the delegates at this IWS to this pandemic. So what we're going to do now is we're going to read this one-page pledge of action together. Now, unfortunately, we haven't yet got copies of this pledge of action available in French or in Spanish yet. So I'm sorry to those of you for whom English is not something that you're comfortable with. But they will very soon be available on the YWCA website, all of the documents, in English, French, and Spanish. So do please feel very free to download them and to share them with your friends. But what we would like to ask you now is for those of you who are able to, if you would kindly stand so that we could all read out this pledge together. So if we'd all like to join together and read together, I pledge to do everything in my capacity to respond positively, proactively, and practically to the unprecedented challenges presented by the global AIDS pandemic. In my own life, I will continually challenge my beliefs, question my negative assumptions, and confront the seeds of discrimination, prejudice, and stigma that perpetuate the spread of HIV. I will use thoughts and words which are inclusive and respectful of others, seeking to build on what unites us and not what divides us. I will reach out and make connections with those most disenfranchised and affected by HIV, always questioning motives for my actions and showing empathy. In my home, workplace, and friendships, I will support others to overcome negative beliefs, attitudes, and practices towards HIV and AIDS, and people living with the virus. I will increase my awareness and that of others about the presence and relevance of HIV and AIDS in all of our communities. I will uphold the human rights of all women and girls.
I will challenge all forms of gender inequality, racism, and other forms of social, economic, political, and legal injustice. I will confront individual behaviors and institutional strategies that place women and girls at risk of violence and HIV infection. In my own country, I will create meaningful spaces for the issues and views of women and girls living with HIV and their carers to be heard and included. I will encourage service providers working on HIV and AIDS to prominently, openly, and conscientiously promote equality in all that they do. I will commit my time and resources to organizations working toward a better future for women and girls, and especially those working to address the impact of HIV and AIDS on women and girls. By signing this pledge, I commit myself to be an agent of the change I wish to see in the world through all I think, say, and do. Thank you very much, everybody. Would you like to sit down again, please, before we move on to the next section? I would just like to pay a very personal and a very, very special and huge tribute to the working group with whom I worked on this document. To Sophie Dilmitis of the World YWCA and ICW member also. To Mary, yes, please let's clap each one of them because they all made such an incredible contribution to this document. To Mary Wandia of ActionAid International here in Kenya. To Afia Nathaniel of Pakistan, who's on the World YWCA Executive Board. And to Caroline Lambert of the YWCA in Australia. Thank you so much to each and every one of you. What for me was so special about working with a group of women from such a diverse range of countries is that it confirmed yet again the universal humanity of all of us and the reality that so many of these issues affect all of us in all our lives, no matter who we are or where we live on this planet. Next, I would like to ask the Honourable Minister Nyoni from Zimbabwe, the Honourable Minister Tlu from Botswana, Nyaradzai Mancini on behalf of UNIFEM, and Ale Sommerfeld on behalf of the ecumenical donor agencies, and she in particular is from Norwegian Church Aid, if you would be kind enough to come forward and lead us by signing this document, and then we can all follow and sign the document also.
I'm very proud to be part of this. So here is my nice pen. and here is my nice keeper.
Before I sign, I would like to say, as a woman leader, when I go back home, I commit a specific budget through my ministry to respond to women with HIV and AIDS that are in small business. And I'll do this through... And I would like the YWCA from Zimbabwe to coordinate this and call a meeting of all NGOs, civil society that are working with women with HIV and AIDS and small businesses, and I will commit a budget from my ministry towards their work. Thank you. I've signed my pledge.
I commit in my personal life to live the values of the pledge. I commit to taking the issues forward through the Rosaria Memorial Trust, which I established in honor of my late mother, who died a caregiver after I lost 3 siblings to HIV and AIDS. I commit to taking this document to the UNIFEM Executive Director, Dr. Nolene Hazer, and will follow up on her to make sure that she also gives the pledge to the United Nations, and especially to Dr. Asha Rose, who was with us, and also my colleague, Debbie, who is here from UNAIDS. Lastly, I commit that in all my leadership roles, in my professional lives, I'll continue to be held by the values of this pledge. Thank you.
Let me just share with you all a thanksgiving to all of you to having reminded a middle-aged male of the enormous potential of female leadership, specifically in the HIV/AIDS struggle, but also generally. And I also then thank you all for revitalizing a commitment to the struggle for a gender sensitive and an appropriate response from organizations committed to change the resource flow in the world from south to north to north to south. Finally, I think also it has been very inspiring to be part of a discussion on how we can link the enormous work that is done on the micro level with the macroeconomics of this world. Thank you, all of you.
Thank you so much to the four of you for signing this document in public. Now it's our turn to sign it. I hope you've all got a pen ready. I don't know if you've noticed, but today's date is the 7th of the 7th of the 7th. It's a historical day, and I think it's an appropriate date for such a historical event. So let me just finish by saying, please, everybody, take this document home with you and stick it up somewhere prominent. In your home, or in your workplace, or your faith group, your leisure center, wherever you feel a lot of other people will be able to see it and read it. And please share it with everybody. the more people we can encourage to sign this pledge, the more we can all develop the change and be the change that we all want to see in the world. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you, Alice. And now, Musimbi and myself want to pledge in front of all of you to commit ourselves, the World YWCA around the world, and our next task in this common commitment.
We commit that we will ensure that the staff and the leadership, the governance of the YWCA will continue to make this pledge an institutional document as well as personal document, and we will ensure that even with my departure, that there will be no gap in supporting the commitments that we have all made.
Thank you. And now I will ask Musimbi to stay and to share with us your views. Thank you.
Thank you. Just a little intersection to say this International Women's Summit has been set in the context of the World YWCA Council. And the World YWCA Council continues after our president helps us to close the International Women's Summit. The Council continues tomorrow with a day on No Kenya, No Africa. In the morning, we offer a wonderful program for the people who are staying, those who would like to visit churches or visit game parks or take walking tours. This has been arranged, and I think at our information desk when we finish, this information will be available to you, and use your program to see what else is in store for you if you're staying. In the afternoon, we have a session which will take place a little outside here at a place called the Bomas of Kenya, which will expose participants who are staying here to what Kenya is in terms of the different cultures and ethnicities and foods and everything. And buses will leave from here. Buses going to that place will leave from here at the Kenyatta Conference Center at 3 o'clock. So if you go away and would like to take part in this just wonderful program which is being hosted by the Ministry of Social Services and Culture and Gender of the Government of Kenya, please come out here and buses will take us out for a trip and bring us back when they have entertained us, fed us, and given us a glance of the beauty of this country. And the next is that when we finish the session, the group who are going to the United States Embassy, the invited guests, please, you will need to meet there at the time appointed, again outside here, and buses will be able to take you to where you need to go. We are asking, the president is asking the whole World YWCA board to stay behind and have a tete-a-tete with her. Please do so after this meeting. I would like to take this opportunity also as someone that has been in communication with so many of you to thank you in a very personal way, because without the cooperation of everybody, both those who have helped to sponsor this event, to come to this event, to contribute to the ideas of this event, to work for this event, it would not be what it is. I could not manage to name all of you in your different capacities, but please do accept our very sincere thanks for each part that you have played. And allow me to ask you to join me in thanking the most wonderful staff members that I have from the worldwide WCA. Every one of them has worked day in, day out. And for we all have lead staff, and the lead staff for the International Women's Summit, you haven't seen a lot of her because she's so busy making sure that everything goes well, was Clarissa Balan. Working in partnership with Sophie Dimitris. The two are our leaders who really directed in everything we want to do. And our lead staff in making sure that every document that we bring to you is well done have been Michelle Begg and, where is she? Kaburo Kobia. Michelle Begg and Kaburo Kobia. With all the documentations and ICTs, including Fiona with ICTs. And there are so many other lead staff. I just want all of them to accept the acknowledgement. And then finally, please join us in thanking our host, YWCA, under the leadership of the board, the general secretary, the board, the president, the general secretary, and the council coordinator, all of them. Again, we want join me in thanking them for this part. They will be thanked more for the council, but just for this part, and so many others. So with this, I just want to thank you and hope that if you have any questions of procedures or so, feel free to ask any staff nearby. And if you really didn't get an answer and people have dispersed, we have the office of the Worldwide WCA upstairs, and we'll be willing to help you so that the rest of the days here, for those staying, are very well spent. And for those leaving, if we make sure you have your tickets confirmed at the travel agent that we have, and if we don't see you when we get back together, we wish you Godspeed and we thank you for your commitment.
And someone has to come and say thank you, Musimbi, for make this summit a reality, working behind everybody, pushing everybody to be here today. Thank you very much. We have now reached to the end of our time together in this summit, and Musimbi has thanked many of you. I want to thank everybody here, donors, the government of Kenya, the World Board, the staff, the people that have been working hard directly related with the summit or some working in other aspects to make this summit a reality for everybody. You could check the programs to see the name of the partners. You are too many to be named, but all your names are there, and you could see who they are working with us. To all of you, we offer our heartless thanks and the hope that our actions in response to HIV and AIDS will be sustained and strengthened until the trend of HIV infections is reversed and women are empowered in their own communities, in governments, in various decision-making and policy-making bodies. Asante Sana.
I'd just like to add on what's been said to say how honored and privileged we have been to work with so many of you as our partners. We wouldn't have been able to pull off this summit without you. The workshops that have been offered these last days, there have been more than 60 organizations who have put together these amazing workshops that we've enjoyed, and nearly 100 partners at all levels, international, regional, and locally based, who have put together these amazing town hall meetings that have been happening off-site, that have really enabled us to be able to connect with the people here in Nairobi. Again, thank you so much for your support and your contributions.
For the singers.